Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and by everyone, I mean Tim.
It's me.
It's me. I like that. I like an it's me through an exhale. Suggests a man who is here, but there's something just beneath the surface that we don't know about.
Yeah, I smacked my head on a branch. I haven't done that in years. I walked into a tree.
Can I ask you a very important question?
Like an hour ago.
Were you wearing a hat?
No.
Oh, man. Well, you got no one to blame but yourself.
Sometimes wearing a hat is, oh, I see what you're saying, because it adds like that extra couple inches on the front that you don't generally account for with your body.
I've had two major head bangs that drew blood, significant blood in one instance, from wearing a hat.
Was it from wearing a hat or was it from being Guy Montgomery versus a tree?
It was because I strapped knives to the hat. So it was from wearing the actual hat.
Mm.
No, it was from me being myself.
A knife hat. No, hold on. Let's pursue this. Guy Montgomery was in the heart of Australia and he remembered a flashback as a boy when he had seen those old jokers sitting out on porches overlooking their vast Australian estates. They're probably taken from some Indigenous people at some point.
Definitely.
And they're wearing those hats with corks on them to brush the flies away. But Guy was like, flies aren't the problem in Australia. Those big poisonous spiders are. And you know what's more powerful than a cork? Heaps of knives.
Do you know why? So that was an unexpected byproduct. The real reason I taped all these little knives to my hats was I was tired of putting whole pieces of fruit up to my mouth and having to eat fruit whole. And I thought, there's got to be a way that I can slice this fruit hands-free on the way to my mouth. So it maintains all of the freshness of an unpeeled or unopened fruit for as long as possible.
Whoa.
So
I would,
yeah.
That's crazy to think about. That is the freshest fruit you could get. The freshest sliced fruit is by putting knives on a hat just in front of your mouth.
You better believe it. And you
know
don't have
what?
To go-
Nature, but you know how to get even fresher than that? Nature's knives, aka your teeth.
Oh, so you'd think, but I'm not going to remove my teeth and put them onto a hat. I'd much rather.
Oh, gross. Yeah, no. I wasn't suggesting that. Yeah,
it feels like you were. No, I'm going to keep my teeth in my mouth. Thanks, Tim.
And I will begrudgingly accept that fact about you. Welcome to the Friend Zone, everybody. These are our in-between episodes of The Worst Idea of All Time, starring stars of the podcast airwaves, Guy Alexander Halifax Montgomery, born on the 29th of September, 1988, I think.
Holy shit. My God, he's done it.
And your boy, Tim Batt, age unknown, middle name unknown. He's a mysterious philanderer.
Yeah, I did a podcast with a man in Toronto yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought to my attention, this was after we'd finished the podcast, which is a shame because I found this interesting. He'd done some sort of research and he brought to my attention this really weird website, which was like, it's not Wikipedia, but it's like Wikipedia. It's one of those weird, you know how everything has its own Wikipedia? I think we spoke about this recently.
Yes.
It's like some weird, you know, like website that's purportedly for famous people, but it's got like, you know, education, early life or whatever. And then it's got like net worth, marital status. And under all the ones that they don't have enough data for, it says Guy Montgomery has withheld this information from the public. And so the whole angle is like,
Guy, why will you not disclose your net worth with the public?
I know.
The people,
and I'm also
have a right to know.
Carefully guarding my relationship status. I just like, you know, I like the idea that until anyone's famous enough that this information's weaseled out by the media, that it's being deliberately and carefully withheld from, you know, very interested prying eyes.
Honestly, there's a real deep sociological point that you could draw from that fact, which I will now. This makes some sense because it presupposes that we're living in a society, which I think we are, that takes as read everyone's main goal is to get fucking famous. I hate it. I hate what it's about. It is vacuous. It is a pursuit of something that makes zero people actually happy. And I think it's dangerous and poisoning society.
Absolutely. I mean, it just means that we're all in an arms race for external validation.
It does.
Do you know, this is insane.
Who's Kissinger in that situation then?
I'm always Henry Kissinger. You know I'm a big Kissinger stan. Do you know who actually, what piece of media and what creator actually highlighted this in a very sort of quite poignant and salient way is maybe the last decent thing he produced, but Ricky Gervais's Christmas special of Extras, where his character Andy Millman's experienced fame and then, you know, not on his terms and had it taken away from him, and he appears on Celebrity Big Brother. And he delivers a somewhat impassioned sort of, you know, like you can see Ricky Gervais threading his own, to this day, miraculously acceptable views on a certain topic through the character. But he's essentially saying, like, all anyone wants now is to be famous. No one's interested in the craft or no one's interested in actually creating anything. Like, they skip forward to the part of the, journey, which is like, I'm famous now. All they see themselves doing is standing on a red carpet and being photographed and everyone talking about them. They don't actually, there's no interest or like, you know, passion for the steps or like for the, you know, fame is an unfortunate byproduct of being very good at something in an ideal world. It's not a means to an end, but
you are really collecting some top-notch dudes to look up to. Ricky Gervais, Henry Kissinger. Who else is on this illustrious list of Guy Montgomery's top hitters?
Hannity.
Sean or... Oh, wait.
Sean.
What was... Yeah, okay.
Hey, Tim, don't worry about it. It's Sean. Those are my three guys. And even from lockdown, I get on a Zoom with them. Every Monday morning, we have a coffee. We talk over the weekend's news. And then we set our agenda for the week.
It disturbs me that Henry Kissinger is still alive.
I honestly do not know who Henry Kissinger is.
About every 4 months, I will send that tweet. It's quite a common tweet on my Twitter. It's just like, I cannot believe this fucking dude is still walking among us. He's got to be in his 90s.
You got to be alive, man.
You got to be. You just got to be. Can I open a file in front of you? This has been sent to us.
Fuck yeah.
From someone who hasn't specified whether they want their name on or off.
So what does that mean they get?
They get no mention. The subject line to this email is, why sleep when you can sex in the city forever? And there's an attached MP4 titled Timmy, Timmy and the Guy After Midnight. I don't know what it is. I've never heard it before. Let's listen together to this.
Hi, Timmy, Timmy, and Guy After Midnight. This is Oslo, Norway, writing, or actually recording, because I'm too tired and my arms are too sore after a workout. So I'm hoping that either the secretaries I presume that you have, or Tim's doubling skills can figure out how to get this transcribed. Okay, so Easter is over and I have to go to work tomorrow. But I can't stop my brain from thinking about your separate watches of Sex and the City 2. And I'm trying to remember separate watches and the schemes and alternative universes your brain's made up. And it's a problem. I mean, I'm spending time in the middle of the night trying to think about the separate times you watched Sex and the City 2. I don't know if this is healthy. My questions to you are, do you often lie awake at night thinking about your separate watches of the separate movies and trying to remember them apart from each other? What do you do then to try and stop to think about it? And if your answers are that you are healthy and you don't do this and you're okay, then I have to ask you, do you think I need to seek professional help? A friend asked me the other day if I have seen Sex and the City 2. And I just have to make something clear. I watch a lot of movies and I count them all on my account on IMDb. So I have a very good, like, I keep very good track. But this is maybe the only time I had to answer a question about if I've seen a movie or not. I just had to answer, I don't know if I've seen it. It feels like I have, but I really don't know. And I'll never, I don't even know anymore if I've seen it or not. Yeah, so I have problems and it's all your fault and I can't sleep, but I love you. And I think this is so genius. I don't think you should transcribe it at all, actually. I just think you should maybe run it as a separate episode. Thank you. Don't call me by my real name. I prefer my pseudonym, Lil Apocalypse. Good night. And may you never sleep again.
Fuck. Was it like Lil Apocalypse or little, like the sort of colloquial little?
I heard little, like, you know, L-I-L, short for little.
Speaking on behalf of from Oslo, all Norwegians, I understand. Mm-hmm. Is that a first to receive an audio piece of correspondence played down in its entirety?
I don't think so.
Sometimes we get songs or whatever, but they usually come with a written explanation. But that, like, honestly, I kind of respect that style of correspondence.
I would love to see more of it. There's something very special about hearing from y'all in your own and literally your own voice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry for the, I mean, you, Little Apocalypse, you sound exhausted. And honestly, by the end of it, it sounded like just articulating the feelings you were having and the reasons that you were still awake maybe went some ways to making you even more tired. And while you wish for us to never know the sweet kiss of sleep again, I hope you got some shut-eye because you really sounded like you needed it.
Well, to the relevant questions asked, though, Guy, do you often lie awake at night thinking about our separate watches of the movies?
No. The difference is that ours is lived experience. And, like, I can understand for someone who is quite a fastidious documenter of films that they've seen, I can understand the frustration of, you know, having a question mark hanging over one of them, such as you might if you listen to the podcast and you can't remember if you have actually seen it or if you've just pieced together some sort of fever dream of a film. But it doesn't, I don't think about it, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't keep me up. In short, the answer for me is no. What about you?
Well, then the second relevant question from Little Apocalypse was, do you think they need to seek professional help?
Really, not really my question to answer, even though it was addressed
to me. None of his business. It's none of his business, Little Apocalypse.
I think not. Like, you sounded lucid and...
Like, it does. It smacks of sort of intrusive thoughts to me, though, with maybe a little bit of if genuinely it is keeping you up at night across multiple nights, that is probably a clinical definition of some sort of syndrome because it's interfering with your healthy life. So to that end, I don't know. If you've got ready access to... the available mental health resources in your country, fucking go for it and then send me a letter and tell me what that's like. So I'll tell you what, New Zealand ain't so hot at that.
Yeah. But I mean, my takeaways are like, I feel, that was a very sort of like, intimate piece of correspondence to actually hear a friend's own message, you know, articulated in real time was, and this is not a slight on the written word. I guess it's just, you know, as the great Ray Badron says, variety is the spice girl of life. I loved it. Shall I, have you got anything more to say or shall I dip into our more traditional means of correspondence?
Here's what I have more to say. I just took my shoes off and I feel 10 times better.
Oh, dude, I haven't put on shoes all day. Oh, not true. I put on a pair of Birkenstocks to walk to the coffee shop and pick up an
oat. No shoes, you're in the clear.
Piccolo. I got something for you.
Hey, everybody. It's Guy Montgomery, and he's got something to say.
And he's got something for you. Howdy, frosty fellas. Glad to finally be paying the boy. Singular. I wonder who's meant to get this portion of the money via Patreon after a year of dedicated listening. Took me a minute to realize this, but your frustration with the works you dedicate yourself to mirrors that of professional wrestling fans. Wrestling at its best is awe-inspiring and full of stories that are simple yet incredibly moving. At its worst, it's shallow, vulgar garbage written by roided egomaniacs trying to squeeze every dime they can out of a viewer. Lifelong wrestling fans will suffer through the worst of it just to find a single shining light. All that to say, I'd love to see you two watch a year's worth of pro wrestling at its worst. The late 90s, early 2000s were a particularly bad time for both the WWE and rival promotion WCW, though I'm sure there's plenty more to choose from. Excited to see what the future holds from y'all. Regardless, all the best. Say my alias, Flighty Buttless.
Flighty Buttless.
Flighty Buttless.
A pleasure to hear from you.
Truly.
Can I play from you my favorite moment in wrestling history? Because I'm not a wrestling fan, so I only hear about the big noisy stuff peripherally. Not a word.
Okay. Can I tell you that I've got in my mind something locked and loaded as a guess for what it is?
What do you think? Oh, can you write it down on a piece of paper?
Yeah, I will. I'm getting a book right now.
And then I'll play it. And I actually think you're fucking wrong, but tangentially close. Well, not even tangentially close. I think you're close, but wrong. So here we go. He's written it down. I'm going to play the clip.
I walk out here every night with hustle, loyalty, respect on my sleeve. That is a credo I have adopted from the men and women who defend the freedom of this country. We have caught and compromised to a permanent end Osama bin Laden.
What the fuck, man?
I like the there's a real artistry to the wording of that. What is it? We've caught and compromised to a permanent end. Is that John Cena talking?
Yeah.
And what do you think my guess was going to be?
The John Cena prank call from that radio station. John Cena prank call. Yep, he's written it down.
Yeah. I am such a Luddite or an ignoramus when it comes to wrestling that it's basically one of the only moments I have on tap to reference when the topic comes up.
There's no way I'm getting into wrestling at this point. I'm sorry, the train has left the station. We've got friends who are real into wrestling, and I want to say that I get it. I think I get it. I understand the appeal. But it is something that you either, I think, have to be ushered into. It's like Catholicism. You got to be brought in at a very early age or make a very steadfast decision to, like, a very, like, big choice as a growing up to get on board.
Yeah. I mean, there is, like, there's an appeal in the there's an appeal.
The pageantry of it.
The pageantry, but also like the part of wrestling that was highlighted to me, which is like, you know, it's actually not miles away from what I was talking about in the latest episode of the podcast with YouTube, which is like watching historic sporting events, not knowing the narrative or the outline. And actually, you know, like it's like watching an old TV show, like a soap and getting to it. You know, like it's all in the can. None of it has any actual real life consequence to what's happening now. There's a beauty in the empty calories, I suppose, of consuming an old wrestling narrative right now. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't you? But at the same time, I'm not going to do it.
It's not happening. You want to hear about wrestling? You go talk to Reese Mathewson. Tell him we sent you.
That's right.
Oh, here's another email that I'm reading now, and it's actually comes in the form of a donation.
Hey,
to
Tim.
Us, the boys.
Good luck with it.
My name is Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Excuse me. There was a little burp because I'm drinking a beer. My name is Sam. They, them. Just sending my gratitude. If you want to read this on the Friend Zone, go ahead. Hi there, intimidation and that's good. Hi there, intimidation and gynasium. Gymnasium is it actually? It says gymnasium. Yeah, yeah. About a year ago, I started binging your podcast right after graduating and getting my CG VFX degree. Have I read this one? With COVID,
It sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. With COVID and deep fear of actually getting out there in the industry, I'm stuck as a 3D furry artist making cash doing freelance work. Yeah, I believe
we've read this last one.
This was about cats.
I can say with supreme confidence that we've had this one, and it was great. Do you know
love
how
you,
I know
Sam?
It was great? Because we remember it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you remember this one? Dear Gaimon and Timbar, like Timon and Pumbaa. I don't know. It's 2 a.m.
No, that's news to me.
I'm trying to catch up with the backlog friend zones from last year. I'll just let you know, Guy, that this was sent on the 17th of April. And I got to the one where Guy says the bouncer in Georgia made him pay $10 at the venue he was performing. Well, that made me angry enough to chuck that right back. They've donated $10.
Oh, wow.
Being from the southern states, it bums me out that you experience that when one of our charms is supposed to be our hospitality.
Mm.
Made this negate his negative karma. I'm going to change that. May this negate his negative karma. As my nonny would say, bless his heart. You boys continue to delight and inspire me. I wish you the best of broken legs during your performances in the upcoming festivals. Love you, Elizabeth Flora, for the fourth time. I'm sorry. And then that emoji that's a smiley face, but it's got a little sweat mark there. So it's like, you know, nervously smiling. Elizabeth, thank you so much. A, for the donation. B, for the well wishes. And C, for being a regular consumer of the podcast. And by regular, I don't mean ordinary. I mean repeated.
Thank you for making that distinguished point there at the end, Tim. I would like to say, first of all, that your well wishes, while not received beforehand, cosmically at least, were taken on board, because from memory, Tim and I absolutely had a fucking barnstorming time at the festivals.
We had a great year.
We were hilarious. People came. They laughed their asses off. And honestly, it was an incredibly rewarding time.
We sold well. We brought our A game.
We were fun and funny.
We were the toast of the town. And then we did a live show to determine who the best host of the podcast was and conducted a running race in the biggest venue that you can get in New Zealand's comedy festival in front of a room of paying ticket holders. And it felt like a waste of time while we were doing it. And maybe it was, but it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
May I hasten to add, because I would hate to overlook this fact, that Guy was crowned supreme, grand, unquestionable, eternal winner of the best host of the worst.
I'm going to put that title on ice for as long as it takes for me to actually get to these watches, because I owe listeners and any sadists a debt of two back-to-back independent individual screenings of Sex and the City 2. So our fans in Oslo, Norway, no doubt will lose their fucking minds over the very concept of that.
I shouldn't be pitching you stuff on the friend zone. It's such a horrible thing to do because we're recording, right? But I think you should do it as a live stream where people can only see and hear you, none of the movie, because then you get copyright issues.
Dude,
and do it for charity.
I totally agree. My charity of choice, the worst idea of all time.
Guy Montgomery.
Yeah. I agree. I'd love to do that. I'd love to get a streaming set up, and I'd probably do it on my you can simulcast if you're smart. I don't know. Anyway, that's
a
different conversation.
You just buy a subscription to a service called Recast, and it costs like $12 a month, I think. You can cancel it after the first one.
People don't need to know about this. What I'm saying is it's a great idea, Tim.
But a couple people do.
Okay, and we do not want to cut them out. I would also like to speak to the my experience in Atlanta, Georgia, and the hearing that experience rearticulated back to me. It was undeniably very jarring and like felt quite negative. But more than that, hearing about it now after I haven't thought about it for so long, there's a palpable nostalgia to remembering that, not because of that specific incident, but because of like time and place. That was December 2019, and I was in the middle, well, not the middle, but like the opening third of driving across America with my friend Ken. And that was in Atlanta. It was the night before I flew to Austin, Texas, to do like one of the coolest things I've got to do in my career, in my life, which was like I got to do a taping for Comedy Central in the US, and like, you know, I got the experience of flying to an airport and there was a person with a sign with my name on it and getting, you know, like a cab to a hotel where I was. It was like so cool and legitimate to me. And I'd forgotten.
I can't believe how well you timed it as well.
I know.
Like that trip was just as the gates of global travel were closing.
Do you know what? I also, and this has reminded me of this, which is why I'm so grateful for this message. I kept a very detailed running diary or journal of like that entire drive. And I can go after this, I can go into my notes and like relive the entire experience of driving across America with my friend Ken. And so the experience was negative, the donation's generous, the memories that you have sparked and like the fucking vivid nature of recalling that experience and what goes around it, I'm incredibly grateful for. So thank you for that message.
Bloody go off.
I shall. I shall go off and read another message. This one reads as such. New friend zone message. Greetings, oh locked down boys.
Hello.
I was just listening to Friend Zone 130, and Guy mentioned how he misses the singing with other people bit of religion. This is from a few friend zones ago. Me too. I'll admit it was something I didn't realize I was into until I discovered that God was dead, buried, and considerable questions were being asked about the movements of certain existential philosophers on the night in question. But given lightning will strike me if I ever set foot in a church again, I'd figured the singing with other people bit of my life was gone, aside from a bit of karaoke. But then a mate of mine invited me out to the Wellington Sea Shanty Society when they were on tour here in Auckland.
Yes.
The people who documented the existence of the Wellerman. We went to the Fridge and Flagon, walked in, got a beer and a songbook, then raucously sung along with shanties all night. It was like being in a drunken blur of the best bits of Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which everyone just played for the fucking sea shanties anyhow. Such a good night. Go find a sea shanty group, Guy. It'll very much refill that bit of your sad, bitter little soul. Keep on keeping on until the Wellerman comes and say my name, AJ. P.S. Check out their albums. That's what I call Sea Shanties 1, and that's what I call Sea Shanties 2. Fucking great drinking night music.
That rocks. I love that for multiple reasons, not least of which because I run a comedy gig at that very venue.
I thought Hump Comedy. That's right. I thought that was a familiar memory.
The old Fridge and Flagon. Boy, I hope they survive. Let's talk about them for a second. They're an interesting venue because they're I think what's happening around they're like they're this one bar surrounded by huge earthworks and basically just a gravel pit now. They're pretty close to the central city. They're not like far out of town whatsoever. They're in Eden Terrace, which is sort of the inner ring just outside the CBD. Right now, Auckland, in its infinite wisdom, has decided, you know what we should have done 100 years ago? Build some sort of metropolitan rail network to get people from woe to go. What if we did it now on top of the city that we've already built? So our council, God bless them, has been engaged in a lengthy and expensive and dramatic and impressive process of buying houses that are overpriced, bulldozing those houses, and then putting tunnels under them. And it's been a pretty trippy thing to watch unfold over the years. And right now, Fridge and Flagon, this venue, this awesome, they're like a craft brew place that takes their beer very, very fucking seriously and apparently hosts sea shanties and definitely some choice comedy nights. They're just sitting in the middle of this desolate Mad Max looking scene.
Yeah.
And they're this one oasis of good times. And I tell you what, it makes it pretty hard to get foot traffic when you're in that situation. That's why they have so many events.
It absolutely does. It's just a brutal, I don't know, circumstance is so brutal all the time, isn't it? It's also like it's I think about it often when I've been going for runs during lockdown and you know, like Auckland is a city, as many big cities or aspiring big cities are, which feels like it's constantly under very intense infrastructure, like renovations. You know, there's an ocean of orange cones and like, you know, blocked lanes.
Cranes everywhere.
Yeah. And it's just one of life's cruel little ironies that it's like, Do you know what would be a great time to fucking get a lot of this stuff done? Is when no one is allowed to commute anywhere and we're all in our houses. And do you know what is illegal while we're all in our houses and no one's allowed to commute anywhere? Working on these projects.
Yeah, man. It would have been great if they could have done it right now while we're all locked down. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Cest la vie, baby. Hey, boys.
No, hold on. Before you start there, pitch me a cartoon. Go.
Okay. It's about three cats who all live in the same cul-de-sac. Uh-huh. One of them is like a pampered house cat. One of them is a stray kitten.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is like a sort of, it's a very grand old cat who sort of has seen everything before and knows the lay of the land. And the grand old cat's actually watching the neighborhood get gentrified, perhaps.
Like an old Deuteronomy style cat.
Yeah. And they all like meet up and sing songs and shit. Nah, they don't sing songs and shit. Basically, the premise is the sort of launching point for the first episode and the arc of the first season is there's a lot of rough stray dogs in the neighborhood, and these cats are trying to strategize how they can not eliminate but like neutralize the fear of the dogs, and it sort of eventually just becomes this There's a lot of capers, you know. They set up all these booby traps and hilarious sort of Rube Goldberg-style pratfalls for the dogs. But the cats have their own internal politics and problems, and, you know, there's – it's – yeah.
What's it called, Guy? Cats vs. Dogs?
No, it's called Cats Meow. Savior of the cul-de-sac.
I love it.
You put me on the spot.
Absolutely love it. You did great.
Thank you. I felt like I was under pressure. He's just for my
looking out his window.
My lovely girlfriend walking up a little drive wearing a lime green shirt.
Fantastic.
I just haven't seen that lime green shirt for a long time, and I was like, God damn.
It's important to appreciate the little things in life.
That's right. Now, are you ready?
Now. To the grisly business of this next email, which I know full well ahead of time without having seen it or knowing anything about it, it's going to be the worst goddamn thing I've ever heard in my life.
You're not.
So go on, guy.
Because it does start.
Hit me with this shit.
It does start by addressing me and me alone. Your instincts are, as always, impeccable. Guy wanted to finally message you regarding Norm. You were literally one of the first people I thought of when I heard the awful news. I was also quite rattled by Norm's passing. I'd first seen him on a JFL special in Montreal pre-SNL in, I think, 1990, and I've loved his work ever since. I actually wrote a long, rambling message but then deleted it because I wasn't sure how hard his death had hit you. I, too, spent most of the last weekend in Norm's company, particularly Sunday evening when my family went out to a dinner I had to miss due to having a cold. So instead, I ate a generous dose of edibles and discovered a series of videos on YouTube that I had never that have every appearance Norm made on Letterman in order. It was incredible. Also, you might remember I messaged you that my boy Ben has gotten into watching your stand-up on YouTube and he loves your work. So I got him hooked on Norm too. Actually, last night, we even watched Hitler's Dog with him. We're not terrible parents, he's 13, but we had forgotten how much sexuality and swearing were in it. Also, we just smoked weed in front of him for the first time, which was kind of weird. Maybe we are bad parents? Anyway, all this to say that I totally agree about his choice to face death on his terms and the incredible trove of comedy he left for us. He was an exceptional man and the world was a better place for having him in it. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and memories. You go right ahead and say my name. And that is from Chris. Friend of the podcast. Chris.
Friend of Guy Montgomery. Let's specify.
That's right. Well, I mean, I appreciate the heartfelt correspondence. I would also love to get into, Tim, what you make of this man ranking his own parenting efforts. They watched a comedy special with their 13-year-old son. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a totally reasonable thing to do. They smoked weed in front of their 13-year-old son. I would argue actually responsible and all good.
I don't mean to be obtuse, but this is none of my business. This email was not addressed to me.
I know, but it was addressed to me and I'm asking for your opinion.
Well, I shan't give it.
Fair enough. I think I often wonder about that because I will often drink a beer in front of Olive and not really think twice about it, but I will never smoke weed in front of Olive nor be stoned around or in front of Olive. And it's sort of an interesting point of delineation where it's like, you know, the reason that I'm okay with one of them is because there's a huge amount of anti-weed propaganda that got it made illegal a long time ago, and that never happened with alcohol.
Perhaps, but how much does weed affect you versus having one beer?
It's a good question. Honestly, the way I smoke weed at the moment is probably roughly the same.
Get a bucket of water. Step one, get a bucket of water.
Yeah, step two, cut the end off a big plastic Coca-Cola bottle. Step three, pack a cone piece with the largest amount of weed you can manage. Like I enjoy both of these things, but I've stripped it back to such, you know, ludicrous amounts of moderation that it's like all I really want is to feel ticklish but also functional. But I mean, I agree with your point. I think my inclination in terms of my chemical response to being stoned is probably I would regard myself as a less reliable parent than if I just had one beer. But that's just me. That's my body.
We've got an email for you.
All right. And we'd probably better put a pin in it after this one, eh?
All right, mate. All right. Dear Timist. No, it actually says Dearest Tim and Guy. In the before times, I was studying biology at LMU in Los Angeles. I have since had to move back home to Phoenix, Arizona. As a junior, the thing I missed most about my college career was smoking with some friends and talking for hours. Well, the emergency episode of Death Blart prompted me to go back and finally listen to the worst idea of all time, and I'm happy to say that you boys filled that missing part of my life wonderfully. Going out into the patio to, quote, hang out with my podcast friends became a hugely comforting part of my routine. Sitting outside at 4 a.m. smoking a bowl while listening to your latest theories about Steve Buscemi or Braden the Rat King. You combine a couple of things.
Braden the Rat King is not a bad idea.
Powerful enemy.
Yeah.
Always
a warlock who has power over all rats.
Always brought me back to my friend's apartment in Los Angeles, and I can't thank y'all enough for that. 4 a.m. because I became nocturnal in order to avoid the 45-degree daytime heat. Love the current season and love y'all. Aiden Burnett, yes, you can say my name. P.S. I have since added myself to your lovely trans listenership. Say my name, Anthea Lavender Burnett. Fantastic to hear.
Anthea, welcome to the listenership. We appreciate your correspondence. You've inspired me to look up LMU. Guess what it's the LMU stands for, Tim?
L. Learning.
Yeah.
M. My. You. Universe.
Well, I didn't actually think you'd get it. That is exactly right. So hopefully either you can do online correspondence with Learning My Universe or you can physically get back to campus sometime soon. But
either way, go Tigers.
By all accounts, yeah, it's an incredible university.
Anthea, I'm so stoked that you're listening to us at 4 a.m. while smoking a bowl. There's something so like romantic about that image to me. Like, I fucking miss Los Angeles. We kind of averaged out going once a year, I reckon, for 4 years. And I think you'd been more often than me, Guy, but it's a cool place.
When you say,
I love the fact that when you go in winter, it's just like a beautiful temp all the time and there's so much to do, man, and it's exciting.
Tim, my friend, when you say you miss Los Angeles, I couldn't agree more. And it's like Los Angeles just represents the world at large. I miss everyone and everywhere.
Right. A somewhat somber note to end the friend zone on.
Yeah, it is. Have you written any jokes lately? Do you think of funny thoughts?
Dude, none. I've like taken that out of my rotation of things to do at the moment. Here's what I'm up to right now. Feeding a bottle of breast milk to a little baby. Changing some nappies. That's most of it.
Nice.
That's most of it. And it's all right. Don't mind it.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be a bloody natural at it.
Oh, thanks, guy. Who's to say? Who's to say how messed up this kid will be?
Remy, in 30 years' time.
All right, everybody. Well, this is Tim Batt. Whether you address your correspondence to me or not, I love you.
Oh, you really took that personally.
And I care about you. I'd hasten to wager that I care about you more than Guy does.
Yeah, but
I'm your real dad.
What the fuck would you know? Thanks for listening. Keep the messages coming in. We're on Facebook at The Worst Idea of All Time. We're on Twitter at Twiwat Pod. We're on Patreon. We're on Tim's email.
Do you know the URL for the Patreon?
Pardon?
Do you know the URL for the Patreon?
I think it's just Twiwat. I think it's TWIAT. Patreon.com/Twiwat. We're on Reddit.
We are on Reddit.
Not that I know about that. We're on Discord.
I do. I am heavily in that sub.
I'm actually looking at getting into Reddit.
Mainly as a lurker, but every now and then if I see something, you know, relevant that needs my attention, I'll jump in my alt account, which has my name on it, and reply.
I've made an account under my own name to follow cricket, fantasy football, and running. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of expanding my interests.
Good on you.
Thanks, dude. Love you, Tim.
Love you, Guy. Love you, listener. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.